الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، all praise go to Allah. We ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions and all those who follow him on the righteous path until the day of judgment. Continuing with our da'wah enhancement classes, particularly misconceptions about Islam, since there are many. By the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have been dealing with a number of misconceptions. Hopefully by now most of you brothers are ready to take the da'wah to the next level by being able to answer most of the questions, from the difficult questions that are posed to those involved in da'wah about Islam. We will eventually, inshaAllah ta'ala, have a quiz examination, just like kids have exams in school now. We will have one of our own to see how much do we recall the information, retaining the information. Is it high, low, or seldom, non-existent, and so forth. Tonight, in fact, we'll be dealing with a very sensitive discussion, a very big question mark about this aspect of Islam. Actually, this topic is, as they say, it's a double-edged sword. It's a sword with double edges. But it benefits in a particular way and it's harmful in other ways. It depends on the people's perception of that idea. That same topic has brought many people to Islam. And because of the misunderstanding about this topic, many people have abandoned Islam or became uninterested in learning about Islam. All because of this issue, right? It's a very strange issue. We were living it every day. It's around us. Wherever we go, we see it. If you have a television, I hope you don't. But if you have a TV screen and you watch some junk there, and among the stuff that you watch is good stuff, and you will probably see it on the news. If you use the internet, surfing the internet, then you will check it out on the various news websites. If you listen to lectures, you'll find that many lecturers will be addressing this particular topic, whether in the Arabic language or in other languages. If you read the newspapers, you find the newspapers. If you pick up a magazine, you'll find it in the magazine. Huh? Yeah. Oh, brother, it's tough. I think they couldn't hear you outside. I'm going to say it louder. No. I'm just joking. Sarcasm. Yeah? J-I-H-A-A-D. Should be double A because it's with an alif. Or known in English as struggling. To struggle. Really, that's what it means. Now, struggling can manifest in a number of ways. But the technical translation for the word jihad is struggling. Now, concerning this topic, I mean, we don't know where to begin or how to end. And really, is this something that we're able to Islamically address according to the Sunnah and the Quran? The phone is off. We'll see. What is this, a Chinese phone? Okay. We have a phone, you know, show here. If anyone's interested after this, you speak to the owner. Come on now. What do you say? What do you say? A non-Muslim, you know, a Hindu or a Christian or some Buddhist, whatever, says, you know, what's up with this? You guys really have, you know, jihad? You really guys, you know, kill people, you know, in the name of God? Is this really part of Islam? How can this be acceptable, right? How is this acceptable? Killing people? Killing people, is this something good? Can it ever be good? You know, can it be justified by religion? What do you say?
Well, about killing the people or about the jihad, like in Quran, to kill a single person and to kill a whole community. From there, that point, you can start with explaining to a non-Muslim that what Islam is about the money. And when a religion is saying that if you kill a single person and you cannot kill all the community, how can
No, that good.
Then after that, as a jihad word itself is not there in Quran, not for that purpose. What the non-Muslim understand is jihad means killing in the name of Islam or killing in the name of religion for Allah. That is jihad would be sabilillah or that are sabilillah. What they mean? Jihad as such is striving or
Right, but that there's a piece of information which you said which is incorrect, which is the fact that it doesn't mention in the Quran that term indicating fighting, but it does.
Yes.
It does. The context using that word struggling in the context of the verses is armed struggling. So. Right. This again, we have other verses which are more particular in reference to the fact that what is intended is fighting for the cause of Allah. Even though the word struggling is used, in the context that I said linguistically, it means struggling. However, in application and the various teachings of Islam, when you open the books of fiqh and you read the chapter of jihad, they're not talking about you fighting with the shaitan, nor are they talking about you fighting with your nafs, they're talking about jihad. Against the enemies of Islam. So the term is there. We and also, yes, it's a good point, the first point, which is that we don't really entertain killing innocent people. This is one of the most fundamental elements in the discussion. But assuming that they say, I'm not talking about innocent people. I'm talking about, you know, people who are not innocent. Is it still justified that a human being will kill another human being in the name of religion and God? How do you answer?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Why? Go ahead. And if you let that soul live, it's as if you have left, you let the whole humanity live. It's very interesting that many people, I have it here, right? Many people don't read the context of this ayah. Interestingly, this ayah, which is very often, this was of course Allah said that this is what we had decreed then upon the children of Israel. Then he goes on to say, in the context, that whoever does so, without the person being deserving of being killed, or fasad in love, or because there's very corruption on earth, then he would be able to have killed all mankind. Then the next verse is mentioned that really the only recompense for those who spread mischief on earth is that they are crucified and that they are killed and so on and they are exiled from the land. So the context, even though you know we try to quote it Islamically in a very kind fashion, let me give you the context of this ayah so we will all be upon clarity. I don't want to bring things from my own mind here. Let's say the word jamia, right? That should help us find it. Jin, Mim, Ya, Ain, Alif, Bah. Surah Al-Ma'idah. this one. Do you remember the ayah? MashaAllah alaykum. Let me see here. Hey, accent. But listen to the context. I'm going to read it in English so everybody will know what's going on. And here's the English. Okay. Because of that, we ordain for the children of Israel that if anyone killed a person, listen now, not in retaliation of murder, meaning if it is retaliation of murder, this is not included, right? Or, and to spread mischief in the land, if the people are not spreading mischief in the land, if they are, then this is not applicable to them either. It would be as if he killed all mankind. And if anyone saved a life, it would be as if he saved the life of all mankind. And indeed, there came to them our messengers with clear proofs, evidences, and signs. Even then, after that, many of them continued to exceed the limits by doing oppression unjustly and exceeding beyond the limits set by Allah and committing major sins. Then it says in the next verse, the recompense of those who wage war against Allah and His Messenger and do mischief in the land is only that they shall be killed or crucified, or their hands and their feet be cut off from opposite sides, or be exiled from the land. That is their disgrace in this world, and a great torment is theirs in the hereafter. So if you come across a captive who knows how to read, and he says, listen, man, this is the context of the ayah that you quoted. The very next ayah says that these people are to be killed, crucified, hands cut off and feet, so on and so forth, exiled from the land. In the same ayah, an exception made, usually not quoted by the du'a. They don't quote, you know, the one about in retaliation for murder or mischief of the earth. They just mention, you know, whoever lets them live, live the whole mankind. Whoever causes one to die, so they kill the whole mankind. But hey, who are we fooling? Is this real? I mean, this verse is correct with the exceptions that Allah made. This is for those who are innocent. And this is where we oppose terrorism. Terrorism being terrorizing, scaring, lacking, or causing the lack of security and safety for innocent human beings, Muslims or non-Muslims. Non-Muslims residing in the land who are not waging war against Islam have the right to live peacefully. And we don't have the right to go on there to a supermarket or to a school or to anything of this nature and blow this place up or kill these people. That, Islamically, is not allowed. In the verse, this becomes the understanding that letting these people live, which is their right, it's as if he let the whole mankind live. And killing one innocently is as if he killed the whole of mankind. However, this is in which context? In this context. But what the issue here is, we're speaking about fighting. Some disbelievers don't agree with the idea of fighting for the sake of Allah, period. Period. They say this is something that is unacceptable according to human standards. What do you say? The brother mentioned, without mentioning names, is that we kind of say, okay, but what are you doing? What are you doing? If we were to look at World War I and World War II, in fact, it was people belonging predominantly to Christianity, Jews were involved, Islam had absolutely nothing to do with it, and billions of people were killed. For what? For the dunya. For world dominance. To control other people. So if you find it justifiable to kill human beings in order to protect your land, which is something that will be, you know, vanishing eventually, then what is your problem with someone having a similar tendency concerning his spirituality, concerning his faith, his salvation? So the truth of the matter is that they are exercising this kind of practice all the time, everywhere you go in the world. People are fighting or not? People are fighting. Is Islam involved? Not always. It could be people fighting amongst each other. Are people being killed in the process? Yes, they are. So then why do they point the fingers at Islam when they themselves are guilty of that and even more? They're guilty of that, and there's no country in the world that if they were to be attacked, that they will do as supposedly Jesus taught, given the other cheek. Because the Christians claim that, you know, the teachings of Jesus were, give them the other cheek. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, you know, you don't slap him back, you say, okay, tfaddal, here's the other one now. You know, are you happy? This is supposedly their approach. However, have you seen any Christian country ever do that? Has any Christian country ever been invaded and they said, come on, you know, kill us some more? They put up arms and they fight back. This is a fact or not? This is a fact. These people, the Crusaders, do we know the history of the Crusaders? You know who the Crusaders are? These are extreme individuals who belong to the Christian religion, who believed that it is their obligation to spread the message of Jesus by eliminating all those who don't accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Consequently, they killed Muslims by the millions. The Philippines was a Muslim country. Did you know that? Manila, according to some, used to be called Amanillah. Amanullah, the security, the place where people were secure because of Allah. And of course with the accent and the different ways of pronunciation, it became Manila. The Philippines was a Muslim country until the Spaniards, Crusaders, came into the country and forced people into Christianity. The only individuals who resisted were the brothers in Mindanao. Right? Which is some of the islands in the Philippines where the Muslims predominantly live and survive, and they're currently in conflict with the Christians over there. These are the only ones who kept firm upon the deen. The vast majority left Islam and they entered into Christianity. Today, the Philippines is predominantly a Christian country. Guess what? This only happened after Christian soldiers came into the country and forced people at gunpoint to embrace Christianity. So what do we say about that? This is not my view. This is historically proven beyond any shadow of doubt. Go to Wikipedia, go to anywhere and put Crusaders, C-R-U-S-A-D-E-R-S, and read what the Christians will say about them. Don't even read what the Muslims will say. Find out the history of these people. You know what they do in the name of what? In the name of Christianity. This is their jihad. They don't hide it. Some of the weapons being used today, I just saw this in the news, on the internet news. Some of the weapons being used today against our Muslim brothers have quotations from the Bible on them. The company which manufactures these weapons, wallahi, they have quotations from the Bible on the weapons for the soldiers to go and fight the Muslims with. Even though they say outwardly that it is not a religious war, in fact, it is a war against Islam. So why are we shy? Why do we lie? Why do they say the falsehood with bravery and we try to hide under the carpet? So we get some funny individuals, you know, who come and speak on behalf of Islam and preach a false message about Islam is love, Islam is peace, we love you all, we love all human beings, you know, inna akramakum indallahi atqakum, very the most honorable in the sight of Allah is the one with the most piety. You know, some of these individuals who run organizations in the West go to the extent of saying, one of them said, one of the leaders of some of these organizations in Western countries who represent the Muslim community. He said, I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem if a rabbi or a priest was to address my congregation from the minbar. I don't have a problem. And look what he said. He said, I know that he doesn't want, if he were to address us from the minbar, he would not want to convert us to his religion. And they, the Jews and Christians, can rest assured that we don't want them to convert to our religion. Lies. Lies. Billahi alayk, as they say. What is a priest going to tell us Muslims from the minbar? Islam is mia mia, you guys stay Muslims. What is he going to preach? Christianity? What is a rabbi going to preach? Judaism? And is it true that we don't want them to become Muslims? You know, lakum dinukum waliya din. Is this the application of this ayah? No. We want them to become Muslims. We want to give them da'wah, without a doubt. So, this modern approach to the interpretation of the Islamic texts, misquoting, lying, denying, is not befitting for a Muslim. We keep it real and we try to explain the wisdom behind it. That's all we can do. We don't change anything which we know in our hearts is correct, but we try to beautify it for someone who's not very much clever, who may not understand as we understand. To us, this is common sense. I don't have a problem. Yeah, this is the deen of Allah. Our attitude as Muslims, this is the religion of Allah. Who am I to say what is suitable, what is not suitable? I be quiet. I believe. For a Kafir, he doesn't have this understanding. I try to interpret it to him in a way which he may understand. But I don't lie. I don't lie. So we have to be very careful. We don't want to give the people the wrong, false message in order to please the Kafir. Who cares if he's happy? I mean, he's happy now. Okay, Islam is peace. Yeah, but I don't like your religion. So what did you do? You dislike? You conveyed the wrong message? And he's still not interested in Islam. You know why? Because he will not accept the religion of a liar. He will not. They know. They read in the Quran, the ayat, dealing with the jihad. They know. Trust me. If we were to hide it in the beginning, they will discover later. I've had this happen. I've seen it with my own eyes. You know, Filipinos at the da'wah center who embrace Islam, and in the early stages, they were given this, you know, lovely, you know, customized message of Islam. You know, everything is according to what they think is good for them. Then they started attending the classes and were having tafsir classes, you know, and in the tafsir classes, we start dealing with the ayah, dealing with jihad. Brothers are sitting like this. Like, is this real? It's like they're having this, you know, dilemma. Oh my God. You know, what we heard is true. These people are really, you know, fighters. And some of them don't show up anymore. They don't show up anymore to the Dawah Center. Why? Because they lied to them in the beginning. They told them falsehood. So we don't do that. Allah guides. Not you and I. We don't lie. Allah guides. If you say the truth, Allah will guide him if there's goodness in them. If he doesn't like it, let him never like it. Allah will place him in Jahannam on the day of judgment because he doesn't deserve to be guided. But we don't lie. This is what the foundation of this discussion. Before we trust me, there are answers. Bi-idhnillah. There are very suitable, logical answers. But before that, I'm saying this as warning that brothers, keep the message true. If we know, we speak. If we don't know, we don't speak. Right. Now, let's look at it from a logical perspective. Someone will say, how is it justified that you kill other human beings in the name of God? We say to them, the most important expression that you made is in the name of God. In order for you to object to God, you need to prove first that you are superior to God. You follow me? You tell the person, so I'm telling you, according to us, this is from God. For you to object, you don't like what God set down. Okay, okay. Prove to me that you are superior, you are better than God in wisdom. You have more knowledge. Will he be able to do so? Huh? If he says, yeah, I know, tell him, you know, y to the power of 2 over x to the power of 2 times 2.5 equals what? He's like, I didn't take this in school yet. I figured. So you don't know it's a stupid mathematical equation, but you're superior to God? Huh? So first, silence him. You relax, young man. You don't know what you're saying, okay? Fine. He said, no, no, this is not from God. Say, prove it to me. I'll be waiting for you to prove to me that this Quran is not from God. When you prove that it is not from God, then we will continue our conversation. Until such time, you have no right. If you're not more intelligent than God, and you cannot prove that this is not the revelation from God, you have no right to object. Clear? Is this a good approach? With some. With others, they may be offended. Say, hey, you're too strong. I don't like that. Say, not me, mushkila. I can mellow down. I will relax and give you another approach. We will give him another approach. Because you have to deal with people according to their understanding. But what constitutes a justifiable reason for someone to kill another person? You know, this is called what? Counter question. Anytime somebody asks you a question which is a little difficult to answer, you turn the tables around. Because they don't have an answer. And their question is only to corner you. So when he corners you, you corner him back. Say, you tell me now. You give me, according to your wide intellect, Mr. Intelligent Man, what are the reasons which justify a person killing another person? And he will go on explaining, well, maybe if someone, you know, raped my daughter, then I think, you know, this person should be killed. Right? Maybe they may say something like that. Or they say, if someone killed my father, then I believe this person should be killed. Or they may say, I don't think at any point, anyone in time should be killed. We say, fine. What is your religion? He will say, I'm a Christian, for example. So what do we do? Do you remember our last discussion about execution? We bring the verses. Say, this is your religion. It says here, if you don't keep the Sabbath, if you work on Saturday, according to your law, you should be put to death. So, what do you say now? No answer. No answer. So then, we're saying, my friend, you're trying to reject something without understanding the other aspects of it. Islam and jihad. Jihad is not a destination, it is means. It is not an objective in and of itself, it is means. What does that mean? That means that the objective behind it is not spilling blood, is not killing people, even though some may be killed in the process. This is only the means to attain the objective. What is the objective? That the religion of Allah is the most supreme on earth. And this is something that must be done. Why? Because for the rest of the humanity to receive the message of Islam, Muslims must be available everywhere in the world. For them to make it everywhere in the world, they need to spread in the world in order to reach there. So the message can be delivered. So when we talk about Islam then, we have to compare Islam to Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism, say, look, there's a huge difference between these two. The religion of Islam is the only religion acceptable by Allah. It is the true religion of Allah. And because of that, it needs to have power. Give you an example. If you were working in a hospital, right? And they gave you absolutely no authority. No authority, okay? You're a big doctor. You're a big director, manager in some other country. you came to this country, you walked into the hospital, you have absolutely no authority, right? But you have very good ideas. You come to a nurse, and this nurse is, you know, working on a particular thing, on a patient, and you say to him, no, this is incorrect. You shouldn't do this way. You should do it that way. So he looks at you, say, who are you? Say, I'm Dr. Mustafa. Dr. Mustafa, can I see your tag, your name tag? Oh, I don't have a name tag. Do you work here? Yeah, I work here. Where? What department? When were you hired? You know? So until you prove to me that you're an employee and you have authority over me, I'm not going to listen to you, right? Because why? No authority. But if the mudir came with the badge hanging, the big shot, the big sheikh of the hospital, if he came and told the nurse, hey, do 10 push-ups, what is he going to do? He's going to leave the patient to die. Anything else? Yeah, sure. Run around on your place. Running around. Why? It's a mudir, man. Authority. What? Authority. When you have authority, you get things done. You don't have authority, no one will listen to you. Right or wrong? Right. But when we speak of religion, in order for this message to be delivered, what do we need? We need authority. We need to be able to convey the message. We need to have some power so we may do so. Without that, we can't do it. We will not be able to do it. So Islam legislated jihad to protect humanity in the ultimate sense. Because if the people were to submit to the religion of Islam, either by accepting it or by paying taxes under the Islamic government, there would be no more bloodshed. No robbery, no alcoholism. If this was to be implemented, people will be living a peaceful life. Right or wrong? Right. If Islam was to be given this kind of authority. So, but it is not being given this authority, it must be acquired. How? This is Allah's wisdom. Previous nations fought in the cause of Allah. If you open the Old Testament in the Bible, there are tens of references about Moses being commanded to go out and kill everything. Donkeys, horses, any animal that they found, they killed. You know what they kept for themselves according to the Bible? 32,000 virgins. According to the Bible, Moses was commanded by Allah, and we don't believe that, to go out and kill everything. Anyone, old people, young people, wives, mothers, grandmothers, priests, even animals, but only keep virgins. And they kept for themselves 32,000 virgins. How did they know they were virgins? We're not going to go there. This is what it teaches in the Bible. So this is something that is historically going all the way back to from the beginning of humanity. Human beings have fought each other. The difference is, they are fighting for the dunya and we are fighting for the sake of Allah. They are fighting so they can have bigger land. We're fighting so you may receive the message of Islam with ease and comfort. These two are not the same. First. Second, guidelines in jihad. First, unlike other nations, jihad is not something that is done by individuals on their own without any organization. It must be organized in a fashion where success is guaranteed after Allah gives us the aid in success. It is not someone going on his own, you know, opinions and acting on his own. Second, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu wa Allah, before he would send out an expedition, he would stop them and he would say, fear Allah. Fear Allah. Do not kill women. Do not kill children. Do not kill the elderly. Do not kill those who have dedicated themselves for worship, like the priests and the monks and those who go in the temple worshipping or disbelieving. Don't approach them. Don't harm them. Do not burn a tree. Do not burn a house. Do not cut down a tree. Do not burn a house. Do not kill an animal, except the animals which you need in order to eat. These were the guidelines given by who? By the Khalifa, based on the instructions they learned from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now tell me, you tell this non-Muslim, which nation on earth uses these guidelines? Which nation on earth applies these guidelines in their warfare? None. In fact, they go exactly the opposite way. Milk factories are bombed, children are killed. It's the most of the casualties are women, children, and the elderly. If Islam was doing this, we would never do this. But it is being done to us. So who are they fooling? You tell the non-Muslim, are you serious, man? Are you serious? We are accused of violence when we are exposed to violence every day. And when a Muslim wants to defend his rights, they call him a terrorist. It's a joke. We have been brainwashed by the media. This is what we don't realize. Even us, brothers, trust me here, sitting here right now, we have been brainwashed by the Western media. Because we were having in the tafsir class on Friday, the discussion about right hand possession. Mulk al-Yameen. You know Mulk al-Yameen? Who knows what the right hand possession means? Yes, I got you. Right hand possession are slave women owned by Muslims. You could be men or women, but women in particular now, owned by Muslims who acquire them in this day and time or in earlier times via defeating the enemy. When the enemy was defeated, their women folks became the property of the Muslim Mujahideen. Okay? Now I was saying this to the brothers and I said the brother, the owner may have relations with this slave girl. And they were like, what? Yeah? Not that they're excited, they're shocked. I said, what's wrong with that? They're like, even if she doesn't like it, by force? By force. Yeah? The brothers were not really digesting this. Again, these are neighbors. Bali Islam, they call them. New Muslims. Not very new. 3, 4, 5 years. I said, brother, you know that you have been brainwashed? We have been brainwashed. You know why? Having a girlfriend, fi mushkila? Fi mushkila. Having a mistress, fi mushkila? Not in Islam. We understand. But in the world today, is there anything wrong with someone loving a girl and having her as a girlfriend? No. Not in the Western world. There's no problem with that. No problem whatsoever. Is there anything wrong with a man cheating on his wife and having a relation with another woman? Would the police arrest him and take him to jail? No. If they found him with a second wife, he would go to jail. Pay attention. If he got married to a second woman, he would go to jail. It's a violation of the law. But if they caught him with a woman, that's none of their business. Why? Because we have been brainwashed to believe that this is okay. And that what we have, that what Allah legislated is not okay. SubhanAllah. What Allah made lawful for the Muslims under the guidelines of Islam, Islam which does not allow you to look at women, Islam which does not allow you to fornicate, commit adultery, not even touch a woman. Strict rules concerning the relationship between men and women. But Allah has given an outlet for the believers who strive in His cause to receive this halal in the dunya. And what is waiting for them in the life to come is better. Can someone have an issue with Allah's revelation, but is willing to accept Western concepts of girlfriends and boyfriends and mistresses and so on and so forth? You know what? We have been brainwashed. So much so that we think that whatever they do is correct, and that whatever we have, we should be shy and afraid of. No. We have been brainwashed. We should have no such feeling. They should feel ashamed. They should feel ashamed that a man will go with a woman who's not his wife. A man will speak to a woman in a romantic fashion which is not his wife. This is reprehensible according to all religions. Judaism, Christianity, Islam, any sound individual see, but it is the brainwashing that we have undergone through the TV, through the, you know, the Little Mermaid. You know the Little Mermaid? Disney? You don't know the Little Mermaid of Disneyland? Alhamdulillah. Who knows? Come on, be honest. Don't lie to me. We said we're going to keep the message real. Who knows the Little Mermaid? No one. There's a cartoon character in Disney called the Little Mermaid. You know it? Only two brothers? MashaAllah. Three? Four? Here you go. Five? Okay, now. Manage this, I'm not going to be upset with you. Only five. This is shocking. And you may know others. You know Mickey Mouse? Well, who knows Mickey Mouse? Alhamdulillah. Everybody knows the mouse, huh? The Little Mermaid is a cartoon that is supposed to be entertainment for the children. Leave alone the idea of music, right? Music from the beginning till the end, which is a whole other discussion. You know what the idea, what is the essence of the story of the Little Mermaid? It's a half-naked woman. She's a half-mermaid, half-human. The lower part is like a fish. The upper part is a lady wearing a bra. You know, a bra. Only an undergarment. No shirt, nothing. What is the story of this young girl? She loves a man who lives on earth. What is she doing? She's running away from her father, who's like the king of the sea, so she may meet with her lover who lives on land. This is what our children watch. We think, oh, it's the Little Mermaid, how cute. In fact, these children are being brainwashed that anything for the sake of love can be done. Disobey your father, run away from him, meet your lover, dress the way you like, act the way you like, speak the way you like, freedom of speech, freedom of actions, do it. Life is once, you will die, enjoy it, you know, to the maximum. This is what is being taught in the Little Mermaid. And you can say the same thing about every cartoon. Tom and Jerry, do you know Tom and Jerry? Shirk and kufr, man. You know the episode where supposedly Tom had a dream that he killed Jerry and he went to Jahannam? And supposedly he went up to the heavens and there was a cat, you know, with a register. Shirk, man. You know, and who told him, okay, your name is not here, and he sent him to Jahannam, and there was a shaitan, was, you know, had having a fork, putting him in a burning him. This is what our children learn. So, what I'm saying is, I'm showing you how we were brainwashed without even paying attention. How these things became acceptable to us without even us paying attention. We thought this is vanish. So when someone comes and says, brother, Little Mermaid, how? Extreme! Extreme! Ishmada, what Islam are you following? Take it easy, ya brother! We want to, we enjoy, we you know, intellectual people, we can look into the Western and benefit from them, and you hear a bunch of junk, you know, bunch of nonsense. In fact, this is the deen of Allah. We have been brainwashed to believe jihad, hide it. No jihad. Islam, no jihad in Islam. Say good things about Islam, okay? Only good things that please the kuffar, right? Anything else which may disturb a Kaaba, don't say it. A Muslim man enjoying what is lawful to him from a slave girl which Allah had given him as a provision, as a risk, because he sacrificed his life for the sake of Allah. We feel shy. But girlfriend, no problem. Committing zina, no problem. Why? Brainwashing. What do we need to do? We need to wake up from this brainwashing. And when we free ourselves from being brainwashed, we will be able to convey the message of Islam in its real sense with confidence. If they don't like it, the best expression that I can use is khalli yuwalli. خلي ولي, you know what you hear it? You don't like it, habibi? Ma as-salama. Islam doesn't need you. If you don't like what Islam teaches, you don't like this part of Islam, you don't like that Allah mentioned this in the Quran, you think you know better than Allah, we don't want you in Islam. We We don't want you. Not only that you're not well, we don't want you to enter into Islam because you will only make us look bad. You will turn out to be a munafiq, a hypocrite who will twist the religion around to be some kuffar. We don't need you. See you later. On the day of judgment, Allah will hold you to account. We don't say this. We don't say this to him. I'm telling you our attitude. Verbally, we don't say this to someone because this is not wise. But I'm telling you what we should feel. So with this, we don't twist anything around. We say there's wisdom behind it. You know, with this, there's a distinction between truth and falsehood. With this, the believers are rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Evil is suppressed. Evil is minimized because of the fact that righteousness is spreading. Muslims are the only people who worship Allah on earth, who believe in good virtues, good righteousness, good character, good conduct, and they spread this among the community. It is only with Islam that the human beings will be able to live an honorable life. Without Islam, they are like the animals. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ. Allah says they are like the cattle, like the cows, camels, sheep, goats, nay, but they are more astray. Their only objective is what goes in my stomach, and which woman I marry, and what the children do, and what car I drive, and what house I build, and khalas. Just like an animal. The animal worries about his entertainment with his other gender, and copulating and bringing children, eating, defecating, urinating, and living in a shelter, you know, a place where they feel comfortable. This is the life of a hayawan. And these people lead a very similar life to the hayawan. Then they have the nerve to complain about us, who are trying to rise for the higher grounds, who are trying to live Islam and implement the religion of Allah, the will of Allah on earth, the way that is pleasing to Him. So this confidence is a condition before we convey the message of Islam, particularly the element of jihad. There are technical aspects of it which we may not know, then we refer to the people of knowledge. But be careful of what is very common in the world today among those who convey some teachings of Islam which they sugarcoat, as they say, and make him look, you know, decorated and everything, and present him to the kafir in order to please the kafir. But they know, and we know, that Allah knows that this is not the truth. And this is not da'wah. This is called failure. This is called cowardice. This is called being a chicken. Chicken. Not that you're gonna go eat chicken. But you know, chicken is someone who doesn't have courage, lack of bravery. And we don't have that in Islam. So then, to repeat, we say, first, my friend, do you believe that you are superior to God? Because we believe this is a revelation. You know, this is revelation. Do you believe he's superior? If he says yes, give him a mathematical equation, chemical equation, anything that he doesn't know. Say, my friend, you don't even know simple things. You know, tell him, what is 62 times 155? Khalas, it's over. You know, by the time he pulls out his calculator, say, you know, I'm sorry. You don't qualify. Second, okay, you don't believe this is from God? Prove to me that this Quran is not from God. Prove it to me. Come on, you can do it. Get help from every human being on earth. وَلَئِنْ اجْتَمَعَتِ الْجِنُّ وَالْإِنْسُ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَأْتُوا بِمِثْلِ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لَا يَأْتُونَ بِمِثْلِهِ وَلَوْ كَانَ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ ظَهِيرًا. If the human and the jinn were to come together, collaborate with one another to produce something like the Qur'an, they would not be able to do so, even if they were to support each other. All the way. You can't do it. You can't prove that this Qur'an is from Allah. If you can't prove it, then what are you attempting to God? And what is the objective behind the jihad? Is it to spill blood? We say go to the seerah. Go to the biography of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he went to Ta'if, and he refused the da'wah, what did he do? And the mountain, the angel of mountains, he said, إِن شِئْتَ لَأَطْبَقَنَّ عَلَيْهُمُ الْأَخْشَبَيْنِ. If you wish, I will crush them with the two mountains. What did he say? He said, no. Rather, I ask or I hope that Allah will bring from their loins people who worship Allah and associate none in worship with Him. If Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was about bloodshed, this is the time for revenge. Right? He would have said, kill them all, crush them, they deserve it, they gave him da'wah, they stoned him. But he wasn't about bloodshed. Secondly, another example from the seerah, Conquest of Mecca. When they went back to open Mecca, And the Meccans know, they knew, it's khalas, this is time for revenge. And they told him, what are you going to do with us? What did he say? أنتم الطلقاء. You are all free. You are all free. He said to them what Yusuf said to his brothers. And he did not bring him to account. He could have, they kicked him out of Mecca. You know, they kicked him out of, he had to escape with Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, migrate to Medina to protect himself and the family. Now he's back with thousands of brothers who can eliminate all of these disbelievers of Quraysh. He did not seek revenge. Why? Because it wasn't about bloodshed. And the companions and the tabi'een, they followed that methodology. And we do the same thing. It is not about bloodshed. This is why we have to learn this point here. Here's what the Muslims did in the early times. There are three levels, three stages for jihad. First jihad is defensive and offensive. Many people try to claim that we only have defensive jihad. This is not true. We have defensive jihad and offensive jihad. That's, defensive jihad is clear. They attack us, we have the right to defend ourselves. No one will debate that. Even the kuffar will say you have the right to defend your land. They don't care whether it's for Islam or otherwise. Defend your land. But where is the problem? Offensive jihad. Did the Muslims, in fact, automatically engage in war? No. There would be three steps taken. Step number one, a messenger will be sent to them from the Khalifa, inviting them to Islam. They invite them to embrace Islam. If they embrace Islam, the message of truth, it's over. Nothing afterwards. But sometimes they don't want to embrace Islam. Fine. You know what the second step was? You may remain upon your religion. We la ikraha fi al-deen. There's no compulsion in the religion. No one will put a sword saying, say la ilaha illallah. Can someone do that? Because if he said la ilaha illallah with his tongue and he doesn't mean it in his heart, does it benefit him? It doesn't benefit him. So we don't want a hypocrite. That's why when they say Islam is spread by the sword, we say you're a liar. Because Islam was spread by one of the means of offensive jihad. By the sword, as in, become a Muslim or I will kill you, this can never happen. Because we don't want someone to lie while he doesn't believe in Islam. You see what I'm saying? So the first step, enter into Islam, ahlan wa sahlan. They say we don't want to become Muslims, we say no problem. Keep your religion. However, this religion of Allah needs to spread. And you guys are in the way. You're in the way. This is a message for humanity. This is for salvation. This is for Jannah. Objective of life. We were not created on earth just to live on earth and have a good time. There's a big goal. And one of the main goals is that what people worship Allah. How can this be accomplished when the message is available for the people, right or wrong? So we say, listen, you're in our way. You're in our way. So what we will do is we will take control of the country. You will pay us taxes called jizya, and you may keep your churches and your temples and everything. Everything remains for you. Keep your religion, we will not force you. However, Muslim government will run the show. Isn't that a beautiful offer? Wonderful! When they refused the second one, this is when the sword was taken out. Now, you don't want to embrace Islam, and you don't want Islam to spread, then you are corruptors. Really, brothers, these people are the most evil people on earth, and they don't deserve to live. They neither want to accept and worship Allah, nor do they want other people to receive the message. Dhulm. This is the greatest kind of dhulm. And consequently, they are to be fought. If we fought them, and they said we surrender, what do? We accept. Look at these guidelines. This is not found in any other nation in the world, brothers. And this is what we need to understand. It wasn't just automatically like, okay, one day we say, okay, Allahu Akbar, and the next day we just go and slaughter everybody around. Ya Allah, kill everyone. And we have a big, you know, swimming pool of blood. We say, you know, mashallah, this is not jihad. We give them da'wah first. You don't want the da'wah. Keep your religion. Pay some tax because we're going to run your country. You don't want to do that? Hey, we will fight. And when we fight, we will not touch your women, we will not kill your women, we will not kill your children, you'll be men, which is your what you mentioned earlier, men against men on the battlefield. Men against men on the battlefield. They want to kill us just as bad. And they strive to kill us just as bad. You see the point? So these were the three steps that were taken by the umara, the people in charge at the time, from the time of the Sahaba moving on, where these choices were given. Many and very often people entered into Islam willingly. And very often they paid the jizya. And they eventually lived under Islamic rule and they embraced Islam when they saw the justice of Islam. Or they kept their religion but they felt secure among the Muslims. In terms of the actual fighting, it wasn't many. Indonesia, the biggest Muslim country in the world, became a Muslim country without a single soldier ever entering the country. It was merchants, business, doing business, they were honest. And now Indonesia is the greatest Muslim country in terms of numbers, and they never saw a soldier. How did Islam go there? With da'wah. So, are we clear on these points? Do we feel confident when we convey this to the non-Muslims? We need to. We need to. Because if they sense weakness, the da'wah is over. If he sees you going like this, it's over. It's over. Because he knows, okay, you're hiding something. Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? What's wrong? You wouldn't be afraid if it was right. Right? Why are you afraid? You think it's wrong? You must think it's wrong. So when you show this kind of attitude, they will try to find something on you. Say, no, we have no problem, man. You have a problem? You have a problem, I don't have a problem. That's my religion, it's clear to me. And if you allow me to explain to you, if you have some intellect, it will become clear to you as well. And then you break it down. This is no woman, no children, justice. It's not about forgiving, pardoning. It's more beloved to us than anything. It is a means, not an objective. And the ultimate objective is that everyone worships Allah and peace will be spread on earth with the establishment of Islam as a religion of God. And the word of Allah will become the most supreme. No other nation can compare to us. No other nation can compare to us in any way, shape or form in terms of their approach to this reality. In fact, they kill people, they oppress people, and they do not respect a human being, nor do they respect any law or anything. They just do whatever they want in the name of the dunya. So who is then really doing corruption on earth? It is the kuffar, not the Muslims. Among the Muslims are those who are engaged in killing innocent people. We don't like this either. We don't do takfir on them, but we say, I don't agree with that. A Muslim going to a supermarket and killing people, I don't agree with that. Because I don't have anything from the Quran and the Sunnah which suggests that we may do so. This is not part of Islam. In this sense, they want to call it terrorism, fine. I don't agree with it either. But you know what? Everybody's practicing terrorism every day against us. So the same way that I don't agree with this Muslim who did that, I don't agree with what you're doing either. And you are just as a terrorist as he is. In fact, you are worse. You see? So we both now don't like terrorism. But stay off jihad. Because they're not synonyms. Jihad and terrorism are not synonymous terms. But today they make it seem so in the media. So with this, inshallah, we conclude this very sensitive topic of jihad. There's a lot of material that can be read, but the most important part, my brothers in Islam, keep the message true. We are just to convey. We don't guide anyone. We convey the deen of Allah as it is. It is Allah who guides. And many of the people who fight in the cause of Allah, you know who they are? Believers. The vast majority of those who in Afghanistan and other places are actually engaged in battle are people who embraced Islam 2 years ago, 3 years ago, from America, from Canada, from Britain, they're out there fighting the cause of Allah. Because once they entered into Islam and they saw the truth, they just wanted, they wanted to do everything they can for the religion. Who is the ones who are being weak? Who are the ones being weak and shy? That's us, born Muslims. We shy away, and we hide, we play. But they took it seriously. They knew this is the truth. So we need to, you know, revisit our understanding. Are we lying when we give da'wah? Or are we saying the truth? Ask Allah to guide.